Welcome back, podcast listeners. This podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California, and I am your host, Cole Ramsey. Without further ado, thank you for tuning in to Life Beyond the Gridiron, a podcast where we will take a look into football stars' rise to fame, success during their career, and the downfall of their legacy. So come with me and learn about some of the athletes you see dominating all over your social media pages and all over television. Today we are going to be talking about NFL legend and college football player Aaron Hernandez. He had a different twist on his career than most of the people we've talked about so far. So let's jump right into it. Aaron Hernandez was a football player who earned All-American honors at the University of Florida and established himself as a quality tight end in the NFL for the New England Patriots. However, his promising career was derailed when he was arrested and charged with the first-degree murder of semi-pro football player Odin Lloyd in June of 2013. In May of 2014, Hernandez was indicted in connection with two murders related to a drive-by shooting in 2012. He was convicted of first-degree murder in the Lloyd case in April 2015, just days after being acquitted of the 2012 murder charges. He committed suicide in his jail cell on April 19, 2017. Following his death, a judge erased his 2013 murder conviction, abiding by Massachusetts case law, which calls for convictions to be vacated if the defendant dies before an appeal can be heard. Later that year, it was revealed that former football player Aaron Hernandez had been suffering from an advanced form of degenerative brain disease, CTE. Aaron, in his early years, was born on November 6, 1989, in Bristol, Connecticut. He played basketball for Bristol Central High School and an AAU team coached by the University of Connecticut's women's coach, Gino Arrieta. But he was clearly marked for gridiron success. He earned first-team All-State honors after leading his team to the 2006 Central Connecticut Conference Southern Division Championship. Though his senior year was marred by the untimely death of his father after complications from routine hernia surgery, Hernandez became a star at the end at the University of Florida. A 6'2", 245 pounds, he was a sturdy blocker, but also possessed the soft hands and the breakaway speed of a wide receiver. He was an honorable mention All-American for the 2008 team that won the national championship and named a consensus All-American the following year. And his 111 catches across the three collegiate seasons marked a school record for tight ends. Despite his obvious talents, NFL teams were wary of drafting Hernandez due to his admitted flunking of a drug test. Privately, many teams also worried about his association with gang types from his neighborhood back home. He fell to the fourth round in the 2010 NFL draft before the New England Patriots selected him with the 113th overall pick. During Aaron's NFL career, Aaron became the youngest player in NFL when he was 20 in 2010 when the season began. Hernandez immediately proved he could thrive at the game's top level. He set a team rookie record for tight ends with 45 catches, helping the Patriots notch an impressive 14-2 record en route to an AFC championship berth. The following year, Hernandez teamed up with fellow tight end and 2010 draft pick Rob Gronkowski to spearhead an unstoppable New England offense. The duo combined for 24 touchdowns and 2,237 yards during the regular season before a loss in the Super Bowl to the New York Giants. Hernandez was rewarded with a 5-year contract extension in August of 2012. Although he was slowed during the subsequent season by an ankle injury, the departure of New England wide receiver Wes Welker and Gronkowski's health problems left him poised to assume a bigger role with the team in 2013. On June 17th, 2013, the body of semi-pro football player Odin Lloyd was found in an industrial park a mile away from Hernandez's mansion in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. Police quickly traced evidence back to Hernandez, though the NFL star complicated matters by destroying his cell phone and surveillance footage from his home. Lloyd was dating Shania Jenkins, the sister of Hernandez's fiance, Shayna Jenkins. On June 26th, Hernandez was led from his home in handcuffs and charged with first-degree murder and five firearms found in his violations. The Patriots announced his release less than 2 hours after his arrest, and Hernandez was soon dropped by corporate sponsors. The arrangement provided details for the motive and evidence. Apparently, upset that Lloyd had talked with his enemies during a prior event out at a Boston nightclub. Hernandez and two friends drove Lloyd around in a rented Nissan Altima before shooting him multiple times at around 3:30 a.m. on June 17th. Surveillance at the industrial park revealed the presence of the Altima at the time of the shooting, while more footage from Hernandez's home showed him arriving with a gun shortly afterward. In addition, the same .45 caliber casings that were discovered at the murder scene were also found in the rented car and at a condo owned by Hernandez. In the meantime, other allegations against Hernandez surfaced. He was accused by a Florida man of discharging a weapon that caused him to lose an eye, and he was being investigated in a drive-by shooting from the previous summer. Once poised for a prominent NFL career, the talented and troubled athlete, instead of himself, found himself facing the prospect of life behind bars. In May of 2014, Hernandez found himself facing new charges in connection with a 2012 drive-by shooting in Boston. Two men, Daniel Abreu and Safario Furtado, were killed in this incident, which occurred a week before Hernandez began training with the New England Patriots. According to records, Abreu and Furtado had been at the same Boston nightclub as Hernandez on the night of the murders. Hernandez was suspected of targeting them after they left the club. Shooting them in their car at a traffic light, one of Abreu and Furtado's passengers was also hit in the attack. A Boston jury charged Hernandez with two counts of first-degree murder for the Abreu and Furtado murders. He also faced assault and weapon charges in the connection with this case. At that time, his lawyers issued a statement on the Abreu and Furtado case, claiming that the former athlete was innocent of those charges and looked forward to his day in court.
Welcome back, podcast listeners. Today I have brought on one of my dearest friends and roommate, also a retired Penguin Radio DJ, DJ Gotta Go Gaming. How are you?
I'm great. How's it going, Cole and listeners at Dominican University? What I'm going to be talking about is how CTE and how mental health is affected through CTE in sports. And to begin off, I mean, if we're talking about football, like Aaron Hernandez, I mean, he's a great football player, and being in those trenches like he was, going against DNs, fierce linebackers, constantly getting hit in the head, that can really change the way your brain works and how you think of things. For example, how it affects your mental health once you have CTE, you start to think things that people are saying to you, you take them differently. For example, someone could be saying like, hey man, like you didn't do this right. You might be taking that as an aggressive or something like that's offending you. And then you go off on a rant. You're like, I don't like this person. You know, I want to be away from here. I don't want to be on this team. And I think a lot of teams take that as like, you know, you're soft, and that definitely impacts an athlete and athletes all over the world. I mean, when they don't feel supported from the team themselves, from the coaches, the staff, things like that, it all feels like people are turning in on you and turning against you. And that can really affect a person's play, how they feel at home, how they're treated at home. And a lot of people aren't taking that into consideration, especially now. You know, we just got done with COVID-19. I mean, we're still going through it, but even at its peak, a lot of players were affected through their mental health because, you know, you're not next to your teammates all the time. You're not hanging out. You're not getting those crucial moments that are what a team is all about. For example, in high school, we had this thing, you know, we call it the locker room. And a lot of people would go in there, you know, make jokes, you know, play like smack ass, whatever. But those are huge things that are left out and really affect someone's mental health. I think there needs to be more awareness throughout leagues, especially the NFL and NBA, all of the big leagues, you know, FIFA leagues, Premier Leagues, everything. Everything needs to get a little bit more focus on mental health and how these athletes are being affected, because You know, it's one thing, you know, you're playing a sport and you're making the team a lot of money and things like that, but it's another thing to treat someone correctly and have their mental health be great on a team, you know. So I think that's something that we need to take good consideration for.
Yeah, I agree with all of those things. And I definitely think that athletes' mental health definitely needs to be a bigger focus in the industry of sports. I think, like you said, I mean, so many times all of these major corporations in terms of the NFL and the NBA and everything you mentioned, they're so focused on the money, the performance of the players, and what they can do on a nightly basis in terms of what the guys are dealing with off the court, on the court, and behind the scenes. You know, to the fans, they seem like these awesome people who live the best life in the world with millions and millions of dollars. But at the end of the day, they're just like us. They put their pants on the same way. They brush their teeth the same way. They go to the bathroom the same way. They're normal human beings with a really good talent in athletics. That being said, have you ever had athletics affect your life on a mental health basis, whether that be in terms of getting hit in the head too many times or just deterioration of the grind and, you know, falling out of love with the sport?
Oh, good question. I mean, 100%. There's been multiple times where I've thought, you know, maybe it is time to hang up the cleats. It's time, you know, I'm getting older. This is it. I can't do it anymore. You know, kind of just pressured questions in my own head. And, you know, not having someone to talk to all the time really affects the way I play and how I feel about the sport. And over years, you know, getting hit in the head and, you know, for lacrosse wise, for Dominican, you know, dodging through multiple people and then, you know, occasionally getting blown up and getting back up, you know, your bell does get rung a few too many times, and not taking the right precautions can definitely have a big impact on your mental health. For say, like, I might not be as talkative because I'm in a depressive state because my brain is not fully capable, ready to go back to practice the next day. And that's a huge part of how my mental health has been affected here at Dominican and through sports in general, even in high school and before high school and middle school, et cetera.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, I've had some of the same struggles. You know, we play different positions. You on offense definitely take a lot more hits than the average defender does. And, you know, I'm sure that does have a mental deterioration. You can only get up so many times after taking such a hard hit and hitting the ground and then having to run 100 yards back to the other side of the field. I mean, I can only imagine that the deterioration that that takes on your brain and your mental health as well. Last question. How are coaches' influences positive, negative on mental health? What could they do better? And, you know, what are coaches' weaknesses, not only at Dominican, but from your sports past, that you think, you know, they could focus on a little more?
First thing I think of would have to be constructive feedback. I feel like a lot of coaches, you know, at the D1 level, D2 level, they all kind of struggle with trying to talk to a player who made a mistake at 100%. It could be at 0.5%, but it's giving that concrete constructive feedback without hurting a player's mental health, without putting a player super down to the point where he doesn't want to be there anymore. It's got to be, you know, hey, you did bad on this play, but you know what, you could do better, and then add that constructive feedback instead of, you know, this play was bad and you need to figure it out. You know, that's not constructive enough for players and for the future of players. I mean, that's one thing coaches could definitely do a better job at.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I've had coaches in the past that, you know, if you have an injury or you got hit a little too hard on a play and you need to take a break, you know, you're called soft and, you know, you're not ready to play and you don't want to be there. And I definitely do agree with the constructive criticism portion. I've seen a lot of athletes during my career in sports, whether it was basketball, football, baseball, soccer, whatever it was, at every level, in youth, high school, middle school, college, all of it. I've seen there be coaches that, you know, they wanted to coach, but I don't think they fit that coaching role, right? A coach needs to be someone who loves his players in a tough love manner. He's going to get on you when he needs to, but in a constructive way, as you're saying. But then when, you know, when we're not on the court, on the field, on the ice, whatever it may be, he's your buddy. He's your friend. He's not your coach that you don't want to share your outside life with. I think that's very important. And to wrap things up, I would just like to say a thanks to former Dominican Penguin Radio DJ Gotta Go Gaming for coming on the show tonight. And thank you guys for tuning in to Life Beyond the Gridiron. I'll see you next week. Thank you.